Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastoma Vidivishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Except for the rain, there's no fans, and music here, so it's just a good recording season. Okay. So, now we're on Bhagavat Sandarbha, right? Okay. Bhagavat Sandarbha, Adhyayana 1, Adhikarana 1, Definitions of Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Page 11. Riti. In the next Anucheda, the same topic is elucidated by citing from 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Maharaj Nimi inquires about the three aspects, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, to the Navi Yogendras. Anucheda 2. This topic is expanded through questions and answers. Nimi says, Narayana Pidhanasya Brahmana Paramatmanaha Nishtam Arhata no vaktum yuyam hi brahma vitama. You, being most knowledgeable of the Lord, should speak about the Sarupa Bhagavan, Narayan, who is also Brahman and Paramatma. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.34. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Hearing about dedication to Narayana, the king then asked about the form of Narayana. Please speak about the Sarup, Nishtam, a Bhagavan called Narayana. Later it will be said, Narayane Turi Yakye Bhagavat Shabda Shabdite. The devotee concentrates on the fourth form, Bhagavan, called Narayana. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.15.6. Quote, He is your deity. You know about his Sarup by meditation, as taught by your guru. End quote. But he is also Brahman and Paramatma. I am asking how this one form can also be three. Right? So one form is three. It's not three forms. This one form is three. That's why he's you know, he said, Advaya Brahman, or, you know, the non-dual, like this, those aspects.
Right. He had mentioned in the course, the fourth form. What's that?
I would think the fourth form here means, would mean,
Turiya.
Yeah, Turiya. I would think it means that. Sorry? In the shloka. Oh, here. Okay. Yes, yeah. Turiya ke. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because when you, it means fourth form, fourth dimension. Because in the world they started to talk about so many dimensions and this and that. There's only three dimensions here. The fourth is on the spiritual world, the fifth is prema. Because you can get to the spiritual platform, that's why we're making the difference between, you can say Turiya is spiritual, and then in this context you'd say fifth is transcendental. So you actually have a relationship and interact based on that. That is other things. You know, in one, at least from Dasya on up. But it might also mean specifically the fifth does fifth refer to any aspect of where it's in prema or just braja? Have you seen? No?
It's only given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
No, that's what that Pancham Rupu Sharta, that's after Dharma Artha Karma Moksha, and then you have prema. But we came across what was it, last year? That where one of the acharyas had mentioned that the fifth is prema. That's beyond, you know, being spiritual. Sorry? Oh, okay. So that's what Srila Prabhupada's mentioned. Okay. What's that? He's saying that he remembers the 10th canto in those first chapters. Okay. So generally we just, Turiya means just beyond, so that would include in general meaning prema. And for most they don't necessarily distinguish, because beyond means that relationship with the Lord. So they're not distinguishing like that. Especially Madhvacharya. It means that just there is no, it means this thing, what people call liberation isn't actually, because it's temporary. So how can you call it? And temporary means it has to be connected to the material world, so how is that spiritual? It means you're temporarily on the spiritual platform, but, you know, so he's not giving it any credit there. So then for, generally speaking, others will just speak of Turiya. They won't speak beyond that. But the devotees are pointing out is the spiritual platform, that's the platform. Then within that, there's the experience of love of Godhead. So that's the dimension beyond that. You know? Otherwise, it's like that. We generally say spiritual or transcendental, they include both. But if we want, we can distinguish between them just to make sure. The meaning of the question is this. Narayana Vidhanasya refers to Bhagavan, since the other two members of the group of three, Brahman and Paramatma, are mentioned here. Bhagavan is equated with Narayana in the following. When the primeval Narayana accepted the form of the Purusha, he created the universe from the five elements produced from himself, and then entered within the universe by his own portion. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.4.3. O Lord, of whom Mahavishnu is your expansion, Narayana, Mahavishnu, the source of the other Purushas, is not you, nor is the third Purusha dwelling within all beings, nor is the second Purusha the witness of all planets. Mahavishnu called Narayana because he is the shelter of the Karana ocean, which gives rise to material creation, is simply your expansion. That expansion of yours is real, not illusory. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.14. And the yogi who concentrates his mind on my form of Narayana, known as the fourth factor, Bhagavan, obtains the mystic perfection called Vasita, not being influenced by the gunas, since he possesses my qualities. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.15.16. You should describe to us the true nature of tattva, nishtam, of these three. So nishtam is fixed. That's the thing, is that aspect is fixed. We have to see that. Pipalayana then replies, one should know Narayana, who is the cause of creation, maintenance, and destruction of the universe, and who also does not act as the cause, who remains present during the conditions of dream, waking, and deep sleep, and beyond those states as well, and who makes the body, senses, life, airs, and mind move and come to life. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.35. According to the order mentioned in the question, Pipalayana answers by first describing Bhagavan. He is the cause of creation, maintenance, and destruction, and is also not the cause. He is beyond the waking, dreaming, and deep sleep states. By him the body, senses, and pranas are brought to life and move. Know this form, Narayana, alone. According to the order of the words in the question, to be supreme, tattva, param, in order to make the meaning of Brahman clear, Bhagavan is explained first. Good. So he's explained all three here, is that the point? So, the first is, he is the cause of creation, maintenance, and destruction. He is also not the cause, like that. So, you know, what he means just in general, he is beyond the waking, dreaming, and deep sleep slates. Like, by him the body, senses, so that's Bhagavan. Then by him the body, senses, and prana are brought to life and move. That'll be Paramatma. And then know this form in Narayana alone, according to the order of the words, to be the supreme tattva, param. Right, so it's still all coming from him. That's the only way it's being given. Right, so even when we're talking about Brahman, it will always be in the context of Bhagavan. Yeah. Since this tattva has been explained as one only, there are differences in the names of the manifestation of Bhagavan and Brahman, with differences of quality and no quality. The difference of quality and no quality manifest only because of the different realizations of the respective worshippers of these forms.
Quality and no quality.
Hmm?
In the translation, quality and no quality.
Yeah, yeah. It just needs some punctuation, I think.
After not quality could be former.
Hmm? Yes, yes. Yeah, because otherwise they sometimes don't. Yes, yeah, so Bhagavan and Brahman means one is this qualities and one's not manifesting the qualities. So when we say not manifesting the qualities, doesn't mean that the generic quality is not there. But when it's generic, it's not manifest. If I say strength, that's a generic quality. The quality exists in a generic state. But only until there's something that shows strength is it manifest. Does that make sense? So when we say Brahman has no quality, it means there's no material qualities, but it doesn't mean that qualities aren't there. But they're impersonal because they're not manifest. Okay. And it's a feature of the person. So Saguna Brahman specifically means Bhagavan, but it also means the other feature.
Right. So the order how we mentioned Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, or Bhagavan, Paramatma doesn't really matter.
No. Because generally it's that people will know it going up. So you show it in that Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan showing the ascending and how Brahman. Or if you show it the other way, you show how Bhagavan is the shelter of the other two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because right? Then before he's saying that even the Purushas are not the supreme. You know, Narayan is the supreme because he's the source of.
Right.
And that, yeah. Because technically they're Paramatma.
The Purushas.
Purushas. They're three forms of Paramatma. On the micro, the, I don't know what you call the middle and the macro, you know. The meso or something.
Huh?
That'll be in English. But I'm just saying in the Latin. But meso, I don't know. That might be Spanish.
Right?
Huh? Oh, no, but sometimes they say meso something when they're talking about the different ages and that, you know, like the dinosaurs and all that.
Medium?
No?
Huh? Medium, like a period like the middle of two.
Between two, okay. So then, yeah. So like that. So it's three forms of Paramatma. Why? Because in here, why would we say that? Because in it, the three of them, that means when he's acting in this capacity as Mahavishnu. Is anybody else there? No. It's just him performing his duties. And Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, there might be some associate, but it's not, it's about him in the universe. And Paramatma, he's there. Does that make sense? So these forms means you have a localized aspect of Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So it's like he's there, but he's not manifesting the pastimes of interaction with the devotees based on prema. It's only creation, maintenance, and destruction.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they're all in that way Paramatma. But at the same time, as we see that that all of them have their place and their planet and their associates and their past, because they are Bhagavan. But in this capacity, he's just manifesting as Paramatma.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this actually explains how all, you know, the demigods and whoever is in those planetary systems, they worship Paramatma. They don't worship Bhagavan as such.
No. Mm-hmm. They don't know, because that's the whole point, is that going beyond. That's why it's special, the understanding of Bhagavan, because that's based on prema. The other is based on just the respect for, you know, the greatest person, like that. And so as Paramatma is the person, but the point is localized, because it's only local in connection with how you're perceiving him. Mm-hmm. He goes beyond that, of course, but we're only perceiving him as the creator, maintainer, destroyer, or the witness, or the judge, you know, or like this. So that's all he's manifesting. And that's all we're asking. We have this problem, will the problem go away? Or we want this to be done, will that happen? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, therefore, he only interacts as Paramatma. So basically you could say all the world religions at best are getting up to this platform. You know, if they're theistic, then they're working on this platform. But if you talk about him as a person and relationships and that, they don't have a problem because Paramatma is a person. Right? And you can have a, you know, interaction. But we're talking about the relationships based on prema. That's not understood. Mm-hmm. So if you say love for God, they have love for, you know, so many things. And so God can also be in that capacity. So the concept of love is there, but prema is beyond that. They don't, it's not understood. But people aren't worried about going beyond that either. So it's not that they feel they're lacking something. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So in that sense, it's just they're situated in the middle where if you cultivate the personal, they'll relate that way. But if you don't, then generally the impersonal will be used. Like that.
Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he tells that the large material opulences, he uses a term called as manovikara. Means it's limited by the perception of a person.
Oh, okay. His vibhuti. Oh, that's interesting. Heard that?
Mm-hmm.
He was saying that the... Who was saying?
Vishwanath
Chakravarti Thakur is saying that the Lord's vibhutis, you know, like all his opulences and that you see in the universe, then they're called mano?
Vikara.
Mano vikara. Means they're only appreciated as much as the person seeing them or observing them appreciates.
Mm-hmm.
Means they go beyond that, but they're called like this because people only observe that much, and so that's all the bigger to them he is.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like how you say, like one celebrity was making they were discussing some funny elements, and one of the guys. He went somewhere. I think he went into. I think it was. It may have been they were doing some shooting, and he went across the street or something to, you know, during the break to go have something to eat or drink or that. And when he went into the place, this one guy was saying, "Wow, you really look like this particular celebrity." You know? And what he'd say, "I am, Nana, yeah, that's funny, yeah, yeah. It's amazing how, you should look this guy up, you know, it's amazing how close," and it didn't matter what he said, the more he tried to explain who he was, the more they didn't believe it. Like that, you know. So, that's mano vikar. You know, it's just how much you're able to conceive, that's all there is. Like that. Even though it's unlimited, you know, that's all the more we perceive. So then that's all. And especially on the, you know, all these aspects. The impersonal is not, there's not a whole lot to work with there. But even that everything's based on that, everything's coming out of that, everything is pervaded, that far people don't necessarily go. So, yeah. So that would mean that Paramatma feature is because of that. That's why we say he's only perceived in the material world. Because in the spiritual world, even if he's doing these things, you're going to perceive of him as Bhagavan. And even he's pervading everything, like it said, Radharani, everything reminds her of Krishna. So it's always going to be Bhagavan. So even though those other two features may be there as part of his Bhagavan feature, they only interpret it in connection with Bhagavan. While here, even Bhagavan will interpret generally according to Brahman and Paramatma. Okay. So, yeah.
One famous saint of Islam, she was a woman, and she wrote many poems about God, and she...
About God.
And she,
oh, God. Okay.
So that one day she was with a pot of water, and fire in your hands. And people ask you, why do you bring it? She told me, because I want to put water in the hell, because people should not worship to Allah because of fear. And I want to put fire in the heaven because people should not worship him because of enjoyment. We should only love him. And she always told that she is like a room for soul, not like a god. Does it also love to Paramatma?
Basically, because they're still just going by that level, because where is heaven? Heaven's in the material world, hell's in the material world. So they're not technically talking about this transcendental world. So if you talk that it's beyond, it's not that it won't be appreciated, but it's just generally not the position they're talking about. You have to remember, if the Yadavas in Dwarka are worshipping him as Paramatma, so why wouldn't this person? You know what I'm saying? So the point is it is God, so it's not a problem. Mm-hmm. So there's more understanding there. There's more understanding how you should deal. Right? There's a deeper understanding. Okay. Mm-hmm. Some sense? You know, but they won't be as prominent, let's say, as others. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You know, because like that, it's talking about prema. If you're just talking about, you know, surrendering to God, being good and all that, then most people accept that. The other one is a bit more. But if you come down to the political platform, you know, then that gets the most. You know what I'm saying? Like the what do you call it? The, because what you're talking about, those are that Sufis, no? Yeah, Sufis will talk that. So the kind of things, the general ones, then they're called. If you get down to what's it called, Wahhabi.
Wahhabi is the Sunni.
Yes, but they're the ones that you know, because they're the ones that become very fanatic, and it's about the rules and everything like that. So that can be easily grasped. You know what I'm saying? Because it deals more with the external form. Right? And then the general will be about that, more of that surrender, and then this third one is about love. So that's the thing, you'll see that get less and less appreciated. But you can talk about all three. Does that make sense? Yes.
In the clarification, does it mean then for the person who can follow along Krishna, they don't need appreciation?
It means appreciation is always there. It's the basis of relationship, but it's not the extent of the relationship.
Okay.
The appreciation is always there. Otherwise, how do you have a relationship?
There's one episode which illustrates the whose point is that Bhishma on the bed of arrows, although right. Krishna himself is there, he sees him as a four-armed dragon.
Yes, 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 yes.
So it works on every level.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. This should be said. Bhagavan is called, quote, not being the cause, a hetu, end quote, because he remains indifferent to the creation by the actions of his Swarup Shakti. He is the cause of creation, maintenance and destruction through his form as Paramatma, who stimulates Prakriti and Jiva into different conditions. Know that form of Bhagavan. He is established as Bhagavan by full manifestations of his Shakti. So when the Shaktis are fully manifest, because you see with all the Purusha avatars, they're only manifesting a portion of their Shaktis. But when you manifest the full, then now you have, and the internal potency in that. So they're only manifesting the external potency and dealing with it. No, it's his potency. So, yes.
To relate to the Bhagavan, we need to have a relationship.
Yes, yes. No. Means it's the attitude that makes the relationship, not the form. Does that make sense? Means the principle of that we are the soul and servant of the Lord. That's the basis. Right? And then from that, then there's a particular way we like to express that. Does that make sense? So, you can establish that relationship without the form, without knowing the sarup. like that. Because Lord Chaitanya is pointing out, Jivar Sarup Hoy Krishna Nitya Das, that eternal servant. But then there's a mood of service, whether it's in majesty or in sweetness or a combination. Then within that, then there's a detail. Does that make sense? So if one's in a particular rasa, that's a detail of whether it's in sweetness or in majesty, and that's a detail of prema. Right? Because you can have prema, but it can be in either sweetness or majesty. Right? And then within that, depending upon the realm, then you have the breakdowns of that. More majesty, then it will be shanta or dasya. You know, a little bit of sweetness, then you start adding the other rasas. Like that, and more than you add in the conjugal also expands, right? Because in Ayodhya, all the other the four rasas are nicely expanded, but conjugal there's only one. But in Dwarka, then it expands. All of them expand. Like that. So that's a detail within. That's how you specifically as an individual will express that prema in that particular realm. Does that make sense? So it always starts with that generic aspect. Then you have that specific. Does that make sense? Right? At least for us, because that's how we're working. It means the form is already there because there's the natural inclination. But now we apply that, we move in that direction. We don't apply that, we don't move in that direction. So, having that form and that didn't help us surrender to Krishna. So it's the attitude that makes it. So that's then what has to be, that's what has to be appreciated. Does that make sense? So all this emphasis on knowing your sarup and this and that, that's a secondary aspect. Unless we have that mood of surrender, then, you know, because when we see devotees ask, oh, but can we change? Can we do this? Can we do that? You know, what if I don't like? Then it's about themselves. It's not about prema. You know, it's like shopping. You go to the place, try on a few different things, you know, like that, you know, see how you look. You know, so it's not exactly, you know.
Within 14 days you can return.
Yeah. Within 14 days you can return. You know, they're checking the label, you know, like that. And, you know, friendship, or which one, you know, like this. You know, Hastinapur. No, I wanted the Dwarka one. You know.
Shantaraka, is
there
interaction with Krishna?
It just depends upon what they're appreciating. Like that. I mean, generally you see they're connected with Paramatma. But we see in Vrindavan, you have the cows, the trees, that's Shantaras, but it's Krishna. Like that. But the point is lack of possession, then it means you're appreciating all these fine points, but you're not going deeper than that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. The condition of Paramatma is described by him. Everything is brought to life by his entering everything in the form of the jivas, who are his amshas. Being impelled by him, the body, with pradhan and all elements, and senses are made to perform their various functions. Know this to be the form of Paramatma. Because he enters, then everything comes to life. He enters with his amsha, with the jivas. Right? Otherwise, why would he enter? Right? It's because the jivas are going. So he goes, and because of that, then he livens the senses and the life airs and everything and makes them function. Right? Because everything has, like in the body, the earth has a function, the water, the fire, the air, the ether. They all have functions. Why do they function? Because Paramatma is there. Right? Some sense. So it's specific in the body and generic in the universal form. Like that. So in either way, whether it's on the individual level or the universal level, like that, it's Paramatma. Right? Otherwise, why does Pradhan start to act and we get Mahatattva? Because of Mahavishnu. So he's the Paramatma on that level. Right?
Sometimes devotees listen inside some voice, for example, how many books should distribute or what to say to person and to person. Is it Paramatma's voice or Baba Krishna?
How about it's the intelligence? How about it's the intelligence?
What about the mind?
That depends upon if it's a good suggestion or not. Yeah, put the books down over in the corner and let's go eat. Yeah, that's probably the mind. So intelligence, right? Intelligence can't work for the devotee.
Sometimes something amazing, like they know names, they know.
It's like what does it matter?
When you arrive at this,
No, but then the thing is then it's the same thing as you were saying. In hell, they're worshiping God because, you know, they're suffering. But if they weren't suffering, they wouldn't be worshiping. But in heaven, you know, it's all nice and all that, so they'll remember how, you know, it's nice and so it's God's grace. But outside of that, their enjoyment, they're not remembering. So if we get, you know, distracted by these mystical things, it's not about Krishna. Oh, it's this, I had this experience. Hey, you're not talking about God. You're talking about that I had this mystical experience. You understand? So that's why it's not very important. The point is, you know, if it's in line with what's been given to us by the acharyas and it matches, you know, practical use of intelligence, you know, common sense to the situation, you use it, it's work, great, by Krishna's mercy. But exactly what's the medium and all that, what does it matter? The intelligence is the closest thing to the super soul. So if you're going to hear anything from super soul, it'll be through intelligence. So he instructs, yes, but he's instructing every living entity. Does that make sense? You know, that the dog sees a cat go by and he chases after us because Paramatma tells him that's a cat, you're supposed to chase those things. You're a dog. Otherwise, dogs, how would they know what to do? Why is it all dogs know to chase cats? Right? It's just because Paramatma tells them to do that. We call it instinct, this, that. It's Paramatma. The point is, he's making everything, that everything functions. That your car works is because he's doing it, because you breathe is because of him. The air has the potency to actually nourish the body, that's him. So it's all him anyway. So if we just see the mystic and stop there and get amazed by the mystic, then, because the mystic things are from here. So it's not even spiritual. Right? So the point is if from that we just remember by the Lord's grace I am understanding that or this and that, then it's nice, you take it up to the Lord. But they're getting this in between that it's mystical, it's different, though I heard and this and that, so. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Is it then the spiritualist who we discuss with a person and we have a verse who arrives who will give him some enthusiasm when we are...
The point is that whatever is that anything works because it's connected to Krishna. Mm. Right? So we just take it back to Krishna. What does it matter, the medium in between? Does that make sense? You know, like, let's say someone gives you a gift. You know, but they sent it to you. So you get the gift, you remember the person. You don't have to remember the guy who brought it, and then he had the truck, and then that truck was maintained by this dude, and then he was paid by this guy in the office there, and then there's the guy who runs that company like that, but he has a tie-up with that other company, so that's why he delivered it to you, and then that guy, you know, the other company, he goes in because he's a smaller guy, so he can go through the local area, but the bigger guy, he can work actually on that national level and all that, but that guy has to tie up with the guy who's working on the international level because it did come from overseas, and then who are all the guys that are doing that, and then the guy that actually picked it up and put it into the basket that, you know, went to your country and then got sent to them, and then there's the other guy, you know, who pushed it and this and that. You can just go on forever talking about all that. And does any of that matter? No. So that's the point. The mystical aspect doesn't matter. It's nice. So what? You know, Haribols, you know. So, but the point is this, Krishna's arranging this. You know, he's arranging everything. He can walk without tripping, that's Krishna. You know. Is that what that means? You know, yeah. Good. Okay. Varuna praises Krishna. Namastu bhyam bhagavate brahmane paramatmane. Na yatra shruyate maya loka shrishti vikalpana. My obeisances unto Bhagavan, Paramatma, and Brahman, within whom there is no trace of the illusory energy, which orchestrates the creation of this world. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:28-6. So by saying that, it's because you're doing all three, because Bhagavan is orchestrating from behind. Paramatma is controlling it, and then Brahman is pervading it. The commentary says, Paramatma means the monitor of all jivas. He is called Paramatma because the jiva's nature as Atma depends upon him. Paramatma means that he assists the jiva. Because the jiva's nature is coming from Krishna, so without Krishna, how does he function? Okay. When Brahman, without qualities, is described, know Brahman as that entity which exists in waking, dreaming, and deep sleep, and in samadhi. Okay. Tadbahi, as chin matra, pure consciousness alone without quality. So in that, then that means that that verse before that we were looking at, what was that one? What was that one that was given?
The beginning of the second answer.
What page?
11. Is it three aspects?
Okay.
Twelve.
Okay, one should know Narayan, who is the cause of creation, maintenance and structure of the universe, and does not act. And also does not act the cause, who remains present during the conditions of dreaming, waking, and deep sleep, and beyond those states of wealth. So that's Brahman, that part. Means this part of that, he's beyond the creation, that's Narayana. That he is doing the creation, that's Paramatma. That he's remains during the conditions of dreaming, waking, and deep sleep, and beyond that's Brahman. But at the same time, he's beyond that, and who makes the body, sense, the life air move and come to life, that's Paramatma. Does that make sense? So, specifically saying Narayan is the one who's beyond all this, then Paramatma is the one who manages all this or monitors all this, and Brahman is the condition that is present during all states of consciousness of the living entity. So even he goes beyond these into Turiya, still that platform is there.
This is the same thing that the higher level of consciousness. Same ideas in the five level of consciousness.
Not so much. It's more about just the different features of Krishna. How the one person is doing all these different functions. So as Bhagavan, he's interacting with the devotees beyond everything, you know, with his full energy. But he is the cause of creation, and that is his will. The carrying out the creation and maintenance and all that, that is Paramatma. And then how he pervades everything, and he's the consciousness on which everything's based, that'll be Brahma. Like that. So it's more discussing that aspect. Similarly speaking of the jiva, it is said, waking, sleeping, and deep sleep, the three functions of the intelligence, are caused by the three gunas. The jiva is ascertained to be different from these three states, since he is only the witness of them. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:13-27. So he's not causing them. He's just witnessing them. So it's the modes of nature are functioning. The pure jiva is described in the above verse. However, this not only describes a jiva, but implies the full form of consciousness, Brahman, which includes jiva shakti. Since it is not possible to describe the full form, it is useful to indicate a small portion, just as a person points a finger at a portion of the ocean and says, "This is the ocean." Mm-hmm. One can understand Brahman by understanding the jiva as non-different from it. That is why the two are equated in the above verse. So these will be situations where they'll show the equalness. Because if you're trying to come to Brahman as beyond everything, then if you see is that the jiva, they can perceive waking, dreaming, and deep sleep. So that means they're not these things. They're the witness of it. So like that, but they're only a witness on this small level. How much they can do is mano vikara. Right? But the Lord is unlimited. That's why he says, you know your body, but he knows all bodies. Mm-hmm. Like that. Mm-hmm. So you're starting from the jiva because we can relate. Mm-hmm. And then the jiva has that position, has that nature beyond the material energy. And so then from there, then there's the, you know, the original person, that the greatness is the thing. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's see. The jiva and Brahman are considered in this way in other places also. The difference is made known by stating that jiva exists in states of waking, dreaming, and deep sleep, and that the pure jiva exists beyond these states. Whereas Brahman never has waking, dreaming, or deep sleep. The word cha indicates that existence beyond the three states. So that's the turiya. So in other words, Brahman's on turiya. And the jiva then is the witness of these. So they're beyond that, but they're not beyond like Brahman is beyond. So only when they are absorbed in Brahman, then they come to that platform. So they're still dependent upon Brahman. Brahman independently is on that position of Turiya, while the jiva only by connecting with Brahman comes on that platform. Does that make sense? Yes?
So when we are referring to the Lord as Brahman and Paramatma, we are always just described that he exists in beyond the state. Like even for Paramatma, it's described that he is unattached to the material world.
So he's beyond. So he doesn't have that feature of being connected with, like that. So Krishna doesn't have that attitude at all. But when he expands his Balaram, There's that aspect is there, though it's not manifest, nor in Mahanarayan. Only in the Purushas, then you see it manifest, where they work with material energy. Right? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's the point of the, where you have the aspect of Mahavishnu and Sadashiva. Right? It's a Dvaitacharya, because sometimes he's mentioned as one, sometimes it's the other.
Mm-hmm.
So as when you're saying Mahavishnu, you're talking about how he's the Lord. Right? Now he's the controller of everything. When you're talking about it as Sadashiva, then you're talking about the aspect of how the Lord works with the material energy. That aspect. But we're not talking about Shambhu, the demigod. We're talking about that aspect because Mahavishnu has three moods. I'm the creator, I'm the maintainer, I'm the destroyer. So as the destroyer, then, because everything's based on ignorance, everything's based on false ego. So that would be that aspect of Sadashiva.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah? Yes.
When Guru associates with Lord Vishnu, he associates with Paramatma or with Bhagavatam?
Garuda.
Yes, with Lord Vishnu. We say that Lord Vishnu is a Paramatma of the universe, and Garuda is his devotee, he is devotee of Bhagavan or Paramatma.
What does it matter?
Because we think that the level of interaction with Bhagavan is
Yeah, see, the aspect is we're going to take it that he's dealing with Bhagavan here. So when we're talking about the others, we're talking about there, it means anybody who goes to Vaikuntha, they're dealing with Bhagavan. But it's kind of like it's the aspect of Bhagavan that has that feature of Paramatma to it. The grandeur, the greatness. Because Paramatma means he's the Lord, he's the controller, he's the monitor, that kind of thing. So they're seeing God in that aspect of greatness. They're worshipping Bhagavan, but it has that flavor. You understand? And then if they're Shanta Bhaktas, then it'll be Bhagavan, because they're worshipping the Lord, but it'll be that flavor of Brahman, how he pervades and all this, and here's the person that's who's doing that. So those are slightly flavors. That's not a complete thing. So when we're talking about the contemporary religions, they're worshipping on that level of Paramatma because they don't know that there's beyond. They don't understand. Is there ever a discussion of a relationship with the Lord and interacting? Do you have? No, there's nothing. Means a couple of verses, you have Adam and Eve, you know, walking with God and talking with God, but you know, it only seems to last about a verse. You know, and then God telling them all this, you know, it's all for you, you can all, you know, enjoy all this until they, you know.
Believe.
Yeah, until they gain material knowledge, right? And then at that time, then they're given the boot. You know, so I think that might have covered three or four verses. You know what I'm saying? And after that, nobody ever talks about that. I mean, see, they talk with God, they may be at the ark, and then they talk, but that's the earlier it is, the more they talk. Abraham talks, Isaac talks, Moses talks. After that, nobody talks. They do a lot of walking, though, but no talking. Like a serious amount of walking, yes. That makes sense? But less walking than before with Moses. That is the most walking.
You remember the Jananda Swami said that the vision of the Eternal Purity is to see everybody like a devotee, ultimately,
yes.
Everybody like it.
Yeah, it means it's not that they're worshipping in their own capacity, but they see them all connected to Krishna. So they're all absorbed in Krishna in their own way. Like that.
Sometimes this is a difficulty when we have a religious background.
What do we have?
A religious background.
Oh, okay, yes.
So we have some limitations.
Yes, yes.
Especially for this Bhagavan sake.
Yes.
So it means the mind is still trying to understand their own conditioning.
Yes, yes.
And it's not working.
But it's just a matter of time. It's all by association. It's by association, and that's how everything comes up.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Everything comes up by that position. So because all these different things, they're all conditionings. You know, the particular religion, the nationality, the particular community, you know, whatever it is, all these things then are all they're all anartas,
yes.
Like that. And so each one has its own unique aspect that it adds. So if someone's religious, that will have a thing. Someone's not religious, that'll have its problem.
Yes.
You know, someone's politically, you know, engrossed, that'll have its problem.
Yes.
Someone's economically or centrally or... You know, like this, they'll all of them. So I wouldn't worry that there's an obstacle. That's why you're here.
Yeah.
Right? The point is that anybody from any position, then by absorbing themselves in Krishna consciousness, according to authorities, they can be elevated to the topmost platform of prema. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
When points are made very strongly about this shouldn't be done or that, that's just so that one doesn't get distracted.
Mm-hmm.
Because due to lack of maturity, we may find something interesting because it resonates with our conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So is that it? Yeah. Yeah, so then that aspect is there. But it doesn't mean that it's good.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like that. And so it's there. and you just engage and connect to Krishna, and what is useful, like that, you know, comes from a religious background, that you believe in God, like this, and laws of God, and that has an advantage. But to that degree that one believes in God, that might be a restriction, but it's just a matter of association, and it changes. You know, because the jiva by nature is servant to the Lord, so it can always go up to that platform of, up to that platform. So, know this supreme tattva which manifests in the three forms mentioned. Narada speaks. Right, so when it's talking about the three forms, it means Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. In these statements, when it's talking about the four, that's the states. That means the waking, wakefulness, dreaming, deep sleep, and turiya. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Riti. In the next Adicheda, the three aspects of tattva are explained in relation with attaining siddhis. Adicheda 3. The three verses explain these three aspects of the Lord in relation to attaining siddhis. One who concentrates his mind on Vishnu, Paramatma, the Lord of the external energy, consisting of three modes, in the form of time, obtains Ishita, having power over the jivas and their subtle bodies. Right? Because Paramatma, he controls the living entities and their position and the subtle. So one who's fully absorbed there, then they have this power. Right? The yogi who concentrates his mind on my form of Narayan, known as the fourth factor, Bhagavan, attains the mystic perfection called Vasita, not being influenced by the gunas, since he possesses my qualities. Vasita is mentioned what that is. Do we know Vasita? Because before it mentions, there's no... No? Okay. There's some other siddhi that people like. One who fixes his pure mind on me as the impersonal Brahman attains the greatest happiness, wherein all his desires are completely fulfilled.
Maybe it is that he's not influenced by the gunas.
Not influenced by the gunas. Oh, I see. Obtains the mystic perfection called Vasita, not being influenced by the gunas. Oh, so then the thing to do there is to put a dash instead of a comma. Then you would know that that's the explanation there. Since he possesses my qualities. Okay, so you're dealing with Krishna, who's beyond the mode, and his qualities, therefore you attain that position. That's why I always said the devotees are beyond the modes. So it's a mystic city. But the point is they're not trying to use these cities separately. Right? You know, the first one, having power over jivas and the sun, means they'll explain to them about Krishna, and they'll be impressed. Right? Because of the potency of connecting to Krishna. So, and one who fixes on his Brahman attains the greatest happiness, wherein all his desires are completely fulfilled. Right? You know, or of course, ultimately, that means that we're absorbed in the Lord. But it also just means, you know, here if we're looking at siddhis, that on the material platform, that, you know, things work out. Because you see everything connected to Krishna. If everything's connected to Krishna, you're not disturbed by anything. You're not disturbed, you're happy. You know, because that's as good as it gets here, not being disturbed. Because you want things to be happy. So if you can be happy without the things, like it's like to say, we have an idea, okay, if we work really hard, get lots of money and all that, then I'll be happy. But if you can be happy without the money, that means you don't have to do the work. You know? So, why would you bother? You understand? So the whole point is you're just absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So that's what it says. All the mystic cities are just there for the devotee. But they don't care about them separately than Krishna. They always engage them connected to Krishna. The commentary says, Trayadishware. Oh, that's how it's spelled, Trayadish. Yeah, because there's a devotee named Trayadish. Okay. Refers to the controller of Maya, which is made of the three gunas. Therefore, he is called one who controls Kala Vigrahe, the Antaryami. The fourth state is described as follows. Virat Hiranya Garbhascha karanam chet upadhyata upadhaya ishasya yantribhir hina turyam tat padam vibhu. They know the fourth position, which is devoid of the Lord's upadis, composed of the universal form, Hiranyagarbha, subtle universal form, and karana, subtle material cause, from Vishnu Purana. So the fourth position, when it's devoid of the Lord's upadis of the universal form, the subtle universal, and the karana, the subtle material cause. Right? So beyond that, that's the fourth state. That's the position the Lord's in. Mm-hmm. Through his energies, he controls all these things, but he himself is situated there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. The word Bhagavan is defined as follows. Aishwarasya samagrasya virasya yashasa shriya yana vairaghayos chaiva sannam bhaga itim gana. Bhaga of six parts. The samagrasya, what does that mean?
Complete.
All complete, okay. Because in that previous point it mentioned that samagrasya refers to all six.
Yeah. This completeness refers to all six are complete.
Yes.
That is given in the translation before.
Okay. Bhaga of six parts is defined as complete control, complete influence, complete excellence, qualities of body, mind, and words. Okay, here's complete excellence, qualities of body, mind, and words. So in this definition, the body, mind, and words all come together as one. Well, in the other one with the what do you call it?
Power.
Yes, yes. No. I'm just talking the Tatparyalingas? Yeah, the Tatparyalingas. No, not Tatparyalingas.
Kalyanagunas.
Then they take those as three. So then it must mean as the one includes these, but the one you're looking at the other as the three there, and then they include. Mm.
Yeah. Another definition here given also, Jnana Shakti Bala.
Yes, that's what I'm talking. That's the Kalyanagunas. Like that, because the bala will be the body, the virya will be the words, and the shakti will be the mind. Like that. If you're using that one there. And then the other aspects will come into that. Because of that, then you have influence, then you have control, you have wealth, the knowledge, like this. So it's just, it seems to be the same thing. One, you're bringing out the position, the other, you're bringing out, it seems, the effect. Something like that. Yes.
I think the word should be vairagya, Maharaj, because it is for control over the senses, which is defined.
Yes, with the control of the senses, that's the excellent qualities of the mind. You understand? Because with the control of the senses, then goes with the Aishwarya. Like that. Because tejas goes with this. So beauty and control of the mind. The renunciation, like you see, they go together. Means you can put them, because everything comes from this. Because you say, if you're beautiful, then all the others come from there. Like, just like if you're beautiful, then you're famous. You know, from beauty then comes the wealth, comes the influence, comes the power, all these different things. But you'll see is that someone that has the beauty, then along with that, generally, if they're going to be in a respected position, they also are detached. Yes. So they're very beautiful, but they move around as if no one else exists, and they don't even see anybody. But at the same time, as they're, you can see them, and they're in their best possible poses to be seen. You know, like that. Well, then control of the senses then requires Aishwarya. You know, the wealth, the opulences, and then from that's how you control everything. So you see, the person who has all the facilities, he has the wealth. I said, and then someone with bodily strength, they have to knowledge they control. Like, if you want to control physically, you have to have knowledge. Like, what's the government controls the whole thing, but what is the thing that they're after? Knowledge. Mm-hmm. Right? So they go together in that way. So then for the aspects of Shankar, Shampratumna, and Adiruddha, then it works like that. But when you put it together as Vasudev, it'll have all those qualities, but it seems at that point it takes on this other kind of form, because then it's in relationship. So then it'll be fame, it'll be, you know, what do you say? Does that make sense? Renunciation, like this. It'll be have these other kind of manifestations. Same thing. Does that make sense? That seems to be what we're dealing with here. Mm-hmm. Because this is, this point, the complete excellent qualities of body, mind, and words, yeah. Complete wealth, complete knowledge, and complete detachment from worldly affairs. Vishnu Purana 6574. This Narayan is called Bhagavan. And that the other quote is supposed to be on the other side of Bhagavan. Is it? Or
I think it started with the commentary. The commentary says.
Oh, okay, so this is the commentary.
Yeah.
Okay, so that ends the commentary. Okay. The Lord speaks, so the Lord says this. How is it that you generally see it when they use it in the poetic form? Thus spake the Lord. Isn't it? When you're saying the Lord speaks, because you generally you would Lord speaks and then you would have the thing afterwards. But when you put it instead of speaks, you put it in the past. Thus spake. So instead of the Lord speaking, thus spake the Lord, or thus spake Sutta. Then you know, okay, what was said before is spoken by him. Is that okay? Yeah, so adjust those.
Don't you say the Lord spoke thus, and then the comment?
That's it. But then you're going to have the what was spoken afterwards. Yes. So the Lord spoke thus, or the Lord speaks. Mm-hmm. You could use that, but that would be the beginning. But when you're putting it at the end, which it seems Jiva Goswami does a lot, then you put thus spake. Spake is.
Nowadays we don't use that word at all.
It doesn't matter. Who cares? It's nice. It works. Throw a little poetry into it. You know, because, I mean, certain words that we're using, people don't use either. You know, like you, they only say yo. Yeah, so.
Yes. That's when in Bhagavad Gita there is this famous verse, among women I am fine speech, etc. It sounds like almost like the from the Lakshmi country.
The Kalyana Gunas. That would be interesting to look at, to put that together and see what's the Sanskrit there and then compare. Because the main thing is just getting where's the connection. Because it's just like in Manu, he gives the ten laws. That means he's given, you know, already now five chapters of laws, like that. And then he condenses that down to 10. But then later on, I think in the 10th chapter, he mentions 5. That can be condensed to 5. So if you look at it, the 5 then means, I think it's the application. So that's the thing, is the one you have the different things that are there, and the other you have the application. So just like you're looking at it, some Bandabhideya Prayojan or however you're looking, then you get different angles. So some of them go into the others. Some of them as they are stay like that because you just, it's obvious to apply, but some of them has 2 or 3 other of the 10 within one of them. Yes, kind of like that. You know, it comes down, because if you have hearing and chanting, you'll have everything else. And then hearing chanting, you'll remember, and then you get everything else. So, like that. Yes, basically like that. So it just seems to be that there's some aspect here, because we see that there's one form that's being specifically used. Like, you know, but there seems to be also another approach to it. Like that. And so it gets used in a few different ways. And so just trying to get those all to match there, so we appreciate it. Because then it makes it also, the aspect is because as Bhagavan is the performer of his pastimes and that, then the one how we're used to it works very well. Because you can relate to that very nicely within the relationships, interaction. Because I say knowledge or renunciation or fame, wealth, power, and beauty. It just directly works into that. But if I say, control of the body, complete control of the body, complete control of the mind, complete control of the words. Then it needs some philosophy to go in and apply it. So those ones work very nicely with Sankarsham, Pachumna, and Aniruddha, because you're using within that context of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Parojana. Does that make sense? Because they'll fall in those categories. And so it's just so that we can understand how they relate that way. That's kind of me. Because something came up, I think, in Laghu Bhagavatamrita that showed a connection. But it's one of those, I gotta, and then it goes and you can't find it. It's like we can't find the sloka, in the pages that we've already done that day, like we're looking at, it's page 11, no, it's page 12, no, it's at the top, no, it's at the bottom, and finally we find it, right? So, let alone after a few days, you just can't find it. So, because Krishna every time it's unlimited, so what you see is different.
So, yeah. Can we say that this is use of poetry, it means we try to elevate our perspective.
Yes.
And it means a different. It's not logic. It means
no. It's logic. It's not just poetry. It's here. Probably the proper word would be vichar, that you're looking at it from different angles.
Yes.
So when you look at it from different angles, it's not that it doesn't include the other things.
Yes.
It's like if I'm looking at the table from cost, its strength is also considered. Because if I want less cost, it also may mean less strength.
Yes.
Or if I'm looking at aesthetics,
mm-hmm.
right? So I want more aesthetics, that means more cost, more strength.
Yes.
So depending on how you deal, they're all connected. It's just which angle you're taking is prominent.
Yes. Yes.
So that's what here. So it's not a poetic in that it doesn't actually logically mean anything. It logically connects. Mm-hmm. Because if we're saying all opulences are coming out of these six, that means everything connects to these six.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a general understanding of these six.
Mm-hmm.
But we see is that the Shastras will explain more.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it we may catch, some of it we don't.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because body, mind, and words is what you're using. So Shankarshan controls the body. Pajumna controls the senses.
Mm-hmm.
Aniruddha controls the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if you control the body, you get power, you control the senses, then you get the opulence, and you control the mind, you get detachment.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense that way, but at the same time is then how, but then to apply that, then you need fame, you need, all these other aspects. So which one of those is coming out, or is it a combination? Because it seems here is he's combined those three that go with three deities as one. The complete excellent qualities of body, mind, and words is one thing, but in the Kalyana Gunas, it's three things. Like that. So that means if those three come out, that means others have gone into something else. Does that make sense? Because you still have six.
Yes. Since the Lord is limited, the perspective can be also limited.
Yes. But I'd say ones that we can relate to and use, then the Acharyas have given, the scriptures have given.
Yes.
Like that. Because beyond that, it's not necessary. You only have to know how much you need to come to the platform of developing love for Krishna. Right? But, Is the Vishnu Puran, not that I know of, it's this Lakshmi Tantra is the one it gives those words.
Mm-hmm.
like that. But at the same time, as the qualities are there, because Chaturvyuha is there, it's just she's giving from her angle because that's how she gets everything done. So she does everything.
I could practice for attending the controversies and so in the mind, the speech, and the desire.
It's just by connecting to Krishna. Things, the activities of the body are connected to Krishna, activities of the senses, and the words are connected to Krishna, activities of the mind are connected to Krishna. That's what we're seeing, is if you connect to Krishna, then all these siddhis are there. But we're not interested in the siddhis. It's just that, it just shows that they come from there. You can see it's a direct thing. You meditate on the Lord who controls everything, you know, He controls the modes, you're not controlled by the modes. Right? You're on the transcendental platform like that, by seeing everything Brahman, then you're also happy. You're unaffected by distress and all these things like that. You know what I'm saying? Because when we say happiness and stress, it means it's by the modes. But when you're talking about the modes, it comes out in a different way. Because you can have happiness and distress from all three levels.
When people, for example, in India, connect their mind with Krishna, not through the Guru Parampara, will they have any connection to Shraddha?
They mean that Shraddha will come when they have the association of devotees coming in the Parampara. Is that what it is? That's where it comes from. It can't come from somewhere else. Right? It means faith in Krishna has to come from those who have faith in Krishna. Is that what it is? Yeah. But it'll definitely, you know, they'll be favorable so that they'll be inclined towards devotees. Right? Okay. It's just like if I give you a toaster and you don't plug it in, will you get toast? No, but you have a toaster. Right? So we have to know that there's more than just the word. Right? You need the word. Right. Okay. Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki Sarva Bhakti Vrinda ki Jai Nitai Gaura Prema Nam ki.